May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For us who know him as the creator of all, who was born to share the life of his own creation and to raise up fallen humanity to the life of God, for us the birth of Christ, the incarnation, is a source of unending wonder. And the Church draws upon the most beautiful and the most eloquent passages of Scripture to express the joy which his coming evokes in each of us. Ever since the birth of Christ, Christians have added to the words of Scripture their own outpouring of thanks for God with us, God who has, in the literal translation of the first chapter of St. John, come to pitch his tent among us. Some have used simple words, like the 12th century Bernard of Clairvaux, who prayed, "You have come among us as a small child, but you have brought us the greatest of all gifts, the gift of eternal love." Others have written with rich imagery and metaphor. In the 4th century, Ephraim the Syrian prayed, "In the winter, when trees are bare, you give us the most succulent spiritual fruit. In December, when seeds are hidden in the soil, the staff of life springs forth from the virgin's womb." And in the 18th century, the English poet Christopher Smart said it like this: "God all bounteous, all creative, who no ills from good dissuade, is incarnate and a native of the very world he made." Common to all the writing, hymnody and theology and prayer about the incarnation throughout the ages is a profound sense of paradox. As we gaze upon our cribs and our Christingles and watch our nativities, we are celebrating the love of God who delights in turning the world on its head, making darkness light and making the desert to blossom, choosing the small to become great, and the last to be first. Christmas celebrates the eternal within the finite, the maker within his own making, the great become so small, the power from on high assuming weakness and the vulnerability of a newborn child. The Ancient of Days now worshipped as an infant newly born. One of the most beautiful poems in English which grapples with this paradox of God within his own creation was written just over 400 years ago by John Donne, the metaphysical poet who was later ordained and went on to be the Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral. In his poem on the Nativity, he considers the paradox of the limitless God contained within the space of Mary's womb. The God who could not be contained by all the universe held within a feeding trough. And Donne calls us to worship this fragile baby, to get down on our knees on the earth and so gently kiss him as we would any newborn child, laying aside our pride and our rich gifts which place us in a certain social status, offering our devotion and the surrender of our lives in love. After Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph were warned of Herod's murderous wrath, and they took their tiny son into exile in Egypt until it was safe to return once again. An exhausting refugee's journey, a journey which has been replicated by so many in our own time, treading the road of escape from violence, poverty, or war. John Donne, in his poem, then tells us to go with him into exile in Egypt, with Mary, who would bear the suffering of watching her own son's execution, and who is with us in our suffering too. There are some copies of John Donne's poem, which some of you will have. I apologize that there aren't enough. It says this: "Immensity, cloistered in thy dear womb, now leaves his well-beloved imprisonment. There he hath made himself to his intent weak enough now into the world to come. But oh, for thee, for him, hath the inn no room? Yet lay him in this stall, and from the Orient stars and wise men will travel to prevent the effect of Herod's jealous general doom. Seest thou, my soul, with thy faith's eyes, how he which fills all place, yet none holds him, doth lie? Was not his pity towards thee wondrous high? That would have need to be pitied by thee. Kiss him, and with him into Egypt go, with his kind mother who partakes thy woe. Words are precious in theology, in prayer, in poetry, in music, and of course in human relationships. With language we discover and we create meaning itself. And what we speak and write brings into birth our shared culture with its values, its laws, its systems which protect us from ourselves and from others. With language, we have created religious and spiritual insight which allows humankind to move from simply gazing at the stars to an articulation instead of the paradox of all wonders in one sight, eternity shut in a span, summer in winter, night in day in night, heaven in earth and God in man. Great little one, whose all-embracing birth lifts earth to heaven, stoops heaven to earth. As Richard Crashaw so beautifully expressed it, not long after the time of John Donne. Our final reading tonight, the extra gospel which comes at the end of this special service, is the prologue from the Gospel of St. John. In the beginning was the Word. The tiny baby, whom so many words have been written about, was the Word itself, the Word of God, which called all things into being. But the Word of God is not empty babble, nor is it aesthetic self-indulgence. It is rather active, creative, liberating, and transformative. Through his word, God creates the world. Through his word, he is born among us to recreate the broken world he loves without limit. Love is come into the world as a tiny child to turn upside down the injustice, the coldness, the darkness, and the woe. And it's for this reason that John Donne doesn't tell us to look in wonder and then return to our fields or our palaces, but rather to get down on our knees and kiss him and then to flee with him on the refugee's road. If his love is to be born in us tonight, there must be a response of our hearts, abasing ourselves before our Maker, surrendering ourselves to a greater will and a greater purpose, and also a practical response, which will involve surrendering the financial security we cling to so desperately, surrendering our prejudices and our conceits, surrendering our time and our protected comforts to take the side of the poor, the weak, and the vulnerable. Donne's call for us to go with the Christ child and his mother into Egypt is, I believe, a recognition that we are to do as Christ does, to seek out the meek, the weak, and the lost, to associate with the lowly, to find a way to now live for them as Christ has lived for us, to share their exile, to share their brokenness, and to be part of the last shall be first paradox of the birth of the child in Bethlehem. As 2019 is about to begin, there are many places for each of us to start, needs enough to fill the rest of our lives. Christ calls us to go with him among those who are in need. There are charities which need our time and our money, including this church, of course, and the many organisations we are supporting. There is work to be done with the homeless, with refugees, with the elderly, in mental health care, with children and with the poor. There is political activity to undertake to campaign for justice. There is peace which needs to be built. There is a new care for the created order waiting for us all to share it. There are neighbours who need our time and need our friendship. And there are also routines of worship and prayer which need to be learned and practiced. There is a simplicity of living, too, which lets go of possessions and anxieties, which will set us free. Tonight, then, let us adore him, and let our adoration be followed by a new way of living which puts people and their needs before all else, through which we will experience the paradox that it is in giving that we ourselves receive. I wish you all a very, very happy and effective Christmas. Amen.